Well, today being the 20th of July, 2025, we want to look at this lesson number 5. We're looking at the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. This series is entitled Broken and Building, Becoming a Spiritual Leader. And I want us to look at this today out of the book of Nehemiah. We're in chapter 2. And the lesson today is entitled Encouraged to Work. Encouraged to Work. Our lesson theme verse is found here in verse number 20 of chapter 2. And it said this, Then answered I them and said unto them, The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And you know, I just want to remind you today that the cross of Calvary is the child of God's motivation to work. What Jesus did for us ought to motivate us to work. I'm going to take a time out here just a second and say it's good to see Brother Jeff here today. Last Sunday, Jeff was having an appendectomy, okay? All right, yesterday afternoon, or Sunday afternoon. And so he's back in here running around and carrying on. He's not doing deep knee bends yet or anything like that, but he had an emergency appendectomy. And they sent you home the same night, right? Yeah, they sent him home that night after the appendectomy. So keep him in your prayers. He's not supposed to be lifting a whole lot of stuff, so keep him in your prayers. It's good to see him back in church today, all right? All right, back. We're back in session now. All right, here we go. All right, I want to ask you a question today. What motivates you to do the work of the Lord that you do for him? What motivates you to serve the Lord today? You know, in Nehemiah's day, the people there, they needed strength. They needed some encouragement. They needed spiritual motivation to do the job that God had set before them to do. And that being to rebuild the walls, to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And where would that strength come from? You know, they had to ask, where are we going to get the strength to do this? What is our motivation to do this? Everybody around us is against us and nobody wants to help us. But today our lesson shows us how that God used this man, Nehemiah, to strengthen and to encourage the people of God to do the work of God that had been set before them. And I want to encourage you today. You know what? Each of us has a job to do for the Lord. Each of us. There are people that you will reach that I will never even come in contact with. There are people that I will know and come in contact with that you may never meet. Each of us has a job to do. But we need some motivation. We need some strengthening today. And all that Nehemiah did, he did in the name of the Lord and in the power of the Lord God of Israel. And Nehemiah let the people know he was not ashamed of that. So as our opening song talked about this morning, little is much when God is in it. You may think, well, I'm not doing much for God. But I'm telling you today, little is much when God is in it. And we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to just remember today, when the adversaries come, and they will come, they will try to discourage you. You'll have people, family, neighbors, people that you work with, people that you know, that will try to stop you from living for God and from accomplishing what God has for you to do in this lifetime. But you keep your eyes on Jesus, okay? Keep your eyes on the Lord and don't think about quitting. Don't think about stopping. You just go and do what God said do and keep your heart encouraged to do the work. I want us to look at this lesson today. It begins here in Nehemiah chapter number 2. And last week, we were looking at this verse in verse number 16. And if you'll look at verse number 16, you'll remember Nehemiah went through the city. He assessed all the damage that had been done. He saw what needed to be done. He walked all the way around that city, or he took his horse and he rode that beast that he rode upon. And we estimated last week about 4 miles circumference all the way around that city, around the walls. About 4 miles he had to go. And he looked, he observed, he took note of what was going on. And there in verse 16, the Bible said, "And the rulers knew not whither I went, nor what I did. Neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work." Why? Because he wanted to first assess the problem. He wanted to first seek God's wisdom and power and strength on his own before he could go before the people. And that's what you and I have to do today. We got to look around us and see. We see all the things going on in our world today that brings us heartache, brings us grief. And brother, we need to go to God about it and say, "Lord, what do I need to do? How can I help your people, help encourage them? How can I accomplish the task that you have set before me to do?" So today, I want us to look, beginning here in verse number 17, I want us to look at Nehemiah's call to action. Now look at this. He said in verse 17, he said, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." Now, as we read these verses, we see and we understand what Jerusalem meant to these poor, disheartened folks. These Jews, they were discouraged. They were disheartened by everything that had happened around them. And you remember, the city had been destroyed because of their disobedience and their rebellion to do what God said do. Folks, let me remind you of something. There are consequences for sin. I see folks get saved. I see folks come to know Christ as their Savior. They have lived a hard life. And boy, they are now dealing with the consequences of bad decisions and things that they did wrong. And that's why it's important that we seek out God's will. We do what God said do. And don't get caught up in this mess of the world. Don't let the devil deceive you. And as we read in these verses, I'm reminded of a passage over in 2 Chronicles. And I want you to turn there just a moment. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And as you look at this verse, verse number 7, I want you to see something here. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 7. We see how the Bible says that God had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever." Forever. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 7. God had a plan for that city. But because of sin, now that city had been destroyed. That city had been torn down. The walls were knocked down. The gates were burned. And they were left with utter destruction because of their sin. Yet God had made a promise. And he said, "My name is going to be right here forever. And now it's time to rise up and rebuild." So the work that these people would be doing would be a work that where God would be magnified and God would be glorified in that work. Listen, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in our world today for the Lord. Boy, there's a lot of rebuilding, isn't it? There's a lot of things that need to be done. And this is why Nehemiah told no one about the plan to rebuild that God had set upon his heart. And God had burdened his heart with. He first wanted to make sure he knew what was going to be involved with the work that had to be done. And Nehemiah knew that that work that had to be done needed to be done from the heart of God's people. He wanted their hearts to be stirred. He wanted them to be reminded that this was the city of God. This was where God said he would place his name forever. Forever. And God wanted to make it to be a blessing to the people. And so we see here how that he went to them here in verse number 17. And he told them, he laid it all out before the people, and he was honest with them. And he said in verse 17, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild, or let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. The people of God had become a reproach to God, a reproach to themselves. Their name had become a byword, and it was sad what they had brought into their own city because of their rebellion toward God. And folks, listen to me today. You and I need to make certain that we don't cause the name of Christ to become a reproach in our city and where we live. Listen, that's why we need to live for God. That's why we need to serve Him with all of our heart, with all of our might, with all of our soul. Love Him and pray that God will use us. And I want you to look at how He did this as we read the first part of this verse once again. I want you to look at it. In the first part of verse 17, we see how Nehemiah confronted the need. He said to the people, he said, look around you. You see the distress that we are in. Folks, if I could say anything to American Christians today, I would say, look around you and see the distress that we are in our nation today. Our nation has turned its back on God. Man, our nation has turned away. Our leaders need to see the distress that we are in today because of our sin. We need to see that. We need to see the reality of it. Because until we see the reality of it, we're never going to get a burden for winning people to Christ. Listen, this past week, I had a funeral. And I think I told you about it on Sunday. And a young man took his life. All because of a situation he got himself in. And folks, listen to me. This young man was down in the Dundalk area and he killed a man. He killed a man. The man's daughter that he killed was there, saw it all happen. And he left out. And whatever happened, we still don't know. I don't have any clue about what was happening with it. But he drove down the road. He knew the police were going to come and get him. And he pulled over on the side of the road and took that same weapon and killed himself. Lisa and I went down there on Thursday night. We led his mother to Christ. We led his aunt to Christ. At the funeral this week, man, it was a tough funeral. And it was just a tough situation. Because folks are now left with the consequences of sin. You got families destroyed because of all this. But during the message, when I gave the invitation, some six folks raised their hand and trusted Christ as their Savior. Now, folks, listen to me today. It is not an easy thing to look at the reality of what's going on in our world today. It is not easy. But, folks, they need Jesus. They need Christ. And until we look around and we see what's going on in the world around us today, we're not going to have the burden for the people that we need to have today. Nehemiah, thank God for this man named Nehemiah, who had the spiritual fortitude, the spiritual, just the guts, okay? Let's just put it down to that. He had the intestinal fortitude to stand up and inspire the people to see the need around them. And he said, folks, listen, our city's been destroyed because of our sin, but we have a promise from God. God said His name would be here forever, and we need to rise up and build. Look what he said. He shared his vision with the people in the second part of that verse. He said, you see the distress that we're in, and he said, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. You know what, folks? It's time for folks to see Christ in us. Amen? There's been too much talk and not enough walk. Amen. There's been too much blab, okay? And people say a lot of words, but they don't do from their hearts what they need to be doing for God. And Nehemiah said, folks, it's time for us to rise up. It's time for us to go back and build this city and do what God has commanded us to do. For too long, the people of God had remained in great distress, feeling sorry for themselves. They had become a reproach, not only to God, but before all the nations around them because of their wickedness and because of their sin. Listen, I got Chinese exchange students, and I got their parents that still live in China who still believe today that America is a Christian nation. Okay? They've been taught that. They come to America thinking, wow, we're going to go to a Christian nation. We're going to not be persecuted. We won't be persecuted here for saying anything about the Lord. And they get here, and man, things are not the same. And folks who say they're Christians aren't living for God. And they're bringing a reproach on the name of our Savior. And they're looking and saying, wow, this is not what I thought this country was all about. This is not what I thought it was all about. Nehemiah not only brought this fact to their attention, but he brought them to a state of remembrance. And then he challenged them. He motivated them. And he said unto them, come, let's come together and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we, God's people, be no more a reproach. Let's make sure that folks, when they look at us, they know we love the Lord. They know that we know God. The desire of Nehemiah's heart was not simply for the walls of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. It was not simply for the gates to be restored and all these things. But his ultimate desire was for the people of God to have their faith and trust in the Lord God, whom they had turned away from, whom they had rejected, whom they had rebelled against, whom they had fought against, and God had to punish. It was for them to say, you know what? We're God's people. We're tired of living in sin. It's time for us to rise up and rebuild, to do that which God has called us to do. He has chosen us to do. And folks, I would say that to each of us today. It's time to get up and build up and do something and let folks know that God is real today. Amen? I think we need to do that. For the sake of their own testimony with God, Nehemiah told the people, he said, come, let us together build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more reproach. And as Nehemiah spoke these words to God's people, I don't know what he may have been thinking, but it came to my mind. Psalm 133, verse 1. You ever read that? Psalm chapter 133, verse 1. I wonder if maybe Nehemiah thought about this. That verse says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In the unity of the Lord God. Knowing that they were God's people. Whatever the situation may have been, Nehemiah spoke with great conviction. He spoke with great passion. He spoke with power before these people. And he did what he could do to motivate them. And then in verse number 18, we see yet another step he used to motivate the people to do that which God wanted them to do. And it was by giving them his testimony of God's assurance in this project. Do you remember how God blessed Nehemiah? And how Nehemiah had spent some 4 months praying about what to do and how to approach the king. You remember that in chapter 1? And then how God just blessed him. Well, Nehemiah here gives testimony of that. And in verse 18, he gives testimony of God's faithfulness. And this is what he said. He said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Amen. When's the last time you gave testimony of how good God has been to you, to somebody? Man, we ought to be thinking about that. We need to dwell today on the goodness of God and how good God has been to us. I sit down and I think about how that God has blessed us and just supplied our every need. How that God works the miracles of all that He does in our lives. I just praise Him for it. In verse 17, He spoke to the people about their distress and the distress and the reproach that they were in because of their rebellion. But as He spoke unto them about what God had done for Him, He shared with these Jews how that God had been faithful. Do you see God as being faithful today? Have you seen the faithfulness of God to work in your life? Listen, I didn't know what to do with this service this past week. I didn't know how to approach it. This is not something that you can just approach easily. You got folks there that have no church background whatsoever. And as I told them, they're seeing the consequences of bad decisions. But the best decision that you can ever make is to put your faith and trust in the Lord God Almighty. And I gave them testimony of what God had done in my life and how that God could do the same for them in their lives. And when I gave that invitation of God's goodness and God's mercy and how God wants to save whosoever will come unto Him, several of those folks trusted Christ as their Savior. And folks, I'm telling you today, God blesses when we trust Him. And when we see His faithfulness and we share the testimony of what God has done in our lives, God will bless that. But you need to see the faithfulness of God. You need to look at it for today. And He spoke here to them about what God had done for Him in leading Him and in guiding Him along the way. Nehemiah broke out in a shout of joy. I believe he broke out in praise unto God when he shared with them what God had done for him and how that God had worked in the heart of the king who had originally stopped that work. You remember? This king had stopped that work. And now that king had provided everything they needed to make sure that the work got done. What a God. Amen? What a faithful God. And then he gave testimony about the king's favorable words. Look at it, verse 18. The second part of the verse. He said, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me." Not only had God laid this burden upon Nehemiah's heart and given Nehemiah his authority to perform this work, but now God had impressed the heart of the king to grant his favor. And to grant his permission to have all of this work done. The king paid for it. He supplied all the wood, the timber, the written documents that would give Nehemiah and his people the authority to do what God had laid upon their hearts to do. Man, you think about it today, folks. We got a great God today, amen? We have a great God today. And Nehemiah gave testimony unto that. And he told about how that the king had placed his favor and approval upon Nehemiah's request. And the words of Nehemiah once again brought strength. And it brought encouragement unto the people. It brought motivation to their hearts to stand up and say, "Well, if God be for us, who can be against us?" And you know what? They said, "We need to do this work that God has done." And look at what the Bible said in the last part of that verse, verse 18. And they said, the people said, the people that were discouraged, the people that were under reproach, the people that had been just on the wayside, just thinking about just quitting and not doing anything for God. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. It was through the report that Nehemiah gave. It was through the testimony that Nehemiah gave that these people said, you know what? We're going to rise up and we're going to build. And folks, none of this may have ever come to pass had it not been for what we now see in verses 19 and 20. And I want you to look at this. Nehemiah had a determination to accomplish the task that had been set before him. You know what, folks? Without determination, we're useless. If we don't make up our minds to just serve the Lord no matter what, we'll quit at the least little thing that comes up. Somebody will say something, and we'll get all upset. Oh, somebody will say something, just hurt my feelings. Oh, I'm just hurt. Oh, I just can't go on. And we quit. But you know what Nehemiah did? He set a determination in his heart. He said, I've seen what God has done. I've seen how God has answered prayer. I've seen how that God supplied my needs even before I asked. God supplied it. And so I think I'm just going to keep on going for Jesus. Amen. I think I'm just going to keep on going. And this determination helped encourage the people. Folks, listen. Can you see how important the pastor's job really is here at our church? Listen. Can you see how important it was for Nehemiah? Can you see how important it was for him to be spiritually in tune with God and what he was doing? This is why he took the time to be alone with God. This is why he looked around and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And he waited for instruction and guidance. And just because God says do something, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be accomplished without times of distress, without times of stress and adversity. Listen, anytime you set out to do something for God, the devil's going to be there to try to stop you. He is going to do his best. And Nehemiah knew all this. So what did he do? He kept his eyes focused on God and on the task that God had set before him. And folks, that's what you and I have got to do today. We got to determine to do that. Nehemiah learned and he understood, number one, that he would have to trust God. Trust God. I was looking at some quarters laid on the table the other day. We got some change back from somewhere. And one of the new quarters I noticed on there looked different than the other quarters that I've got in my pocket. Well, I don't have them now. I've got them in my dashboard so I can keep them there. And I noticed that on those quarters before, it had a picture of George Washington on the quarter. And as he's facing this direction, it says around that curve of that coin, it says, in God we trust. And it's like the picture of George Washington is looking at those words, in God we trust. On these new quarters that came out, his silhouette is turned the other way. And it's facing away from where it said, in God we trust. Now, I know that may sound stupid to you, but I just saw that this week. It was laying on the thing, and I thought, wait a minute, that face is not right. Something's not right about that coin. And it had one of the state's pictures or something on the back of the coin. I don't even remember what state it was. But his back was against the words, in God we trust. And folks, that's where we've gotten today. We've turned our back on trusting God. We as Christians, we say, well, you know, my job is in jeopardy. My job is this, and I don't have the money for this and money for that. When did we stop trusting God? You know when we stopped trusting God? When we turned our face away from Him. And Nehemiah said, hey, listen, folks, we're going to have to trust God. I want you to look at verses 19 and 20. The Bible said that after he had gotten the people excited about this, and they said, hey, we're going to do what God said to do. We're going to rise up and build. And they strengthened their hands to do this good work. Verse 19 says, but when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. And look what he told them. He said, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in this Jerusalem. And you know what he said? He said, you don't have any right to even be here, so just get out of my sight. Get out of my sight. If you're not for us, you're against us. Amen? And Nehemiah looked at this, and I want you to see this. There are three adversaries now that appear on this scene. Not one, not two, but three adversaries that rise up. And you know what? The devil really began to gang up heavy on Nehemiah here. Why? Because the people now had a heart and a mind to do the work that God had set before them. You see, many times the way God helps us to learn to trust Him so that we might truly serve Him from our heart is to send adversaries against us. He sends adversaries. He sends the rough times against us. He allows those things to happen so that we've got no other place to turn but unto God. Amen? And you know what? When you've got no other place to turn but unto God, why would you turn away from Him? And Nehemiah said, hey guys, you got nothing to do with any of this stuff. And I want you to notice here, we read here, the adversaries that we cannot stand up against in our own strength, those are the ones that God is going to allow sometimes to come in our lives. And look what he said. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. That means they mocked them. They made fun of them. They ridiculed them in front of all the people. Is that not what we're seeing in our world happen today with those that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, they're going to mock you. They're going to laugh at you. But you know what? They did it back then. They're going to do it today. They'll do it until the Lord Jesus comes back and sets up His throne here in Jerusalem. But until that day, you and I have to be motivated to just keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when Nehemiah heard these words, he saw the fearful reactions. I really believe he watched the people's faces. He saw them look at one another, and they were being laughed at, and they were being scorned, and they were being mocked and made fun of. And you know what he did? He stepped up. This man of God stepped up, and he said, listen, folks, the God of heaven, He's going to prosper us. He's going to take care of us. Don't listen to these old booger bears. Don't listen to them. They're not going to help you. They're here to hurt you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And folks, that's what you and I have got to be willing to do today. We got to be willing to keep our eyes on Jesus. He encouraged them to serve God, and He encouraged the people to do the same thing. Look what He said in verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. Therefore, we, His servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Wow. Man, he laid the facts out before him, did he not? He just laid it all out there before him. He determined that what he was going to do was exactly what God had commanded him to do. And folks, that's what you and I have got to make up our minds to do today. Let's stop being these little wimpy Christians, okay? Let's stop being these little wimps that just roll over and play dead. Oh, you can't tell nobody about Jesus. Listen, if we don't tell them about Christ, who's going to? If we don't live before them a life that's pleasing unto God, and that they can see the results of what God can do in a person's life, who's going to? The world can't do it. The world has nothing to offer them. The devil does nothing but rob and steal and kill and destroy. But we got to offer them something that's real today. And the reality of it is, the Bible said here, they said, therefore we, His servants, will arise and build. It's up to you and me today, folks, to live for God. And then notice what he told these men through the power and authority of the Word of God. He said, you guys have no portion in this city. You got no right to even be in here. You got no memorial in this city. There's nothing here that motivates you. But this is the city of God. Get out. Just get out. stay away from us. And you know what he did? He made up his mind he was going to do what God said do. Now, folks, I think that's what you and I have to make up our minds to do today. We got to make up our minds. Listen, in that 2 Chronicles 33:7, I read to you a few moments ago, he remembered where God said to David and to Solomon, in this house and in this Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. They were God's chosen people, and they were going to keep their name there. And these other adversaries, listen, they had no right, no portion, no memorial, nothing to do with that city. And folks, listen, the devil has nothing good to offer. But we got a job to do. So let's, you and me, just make up our minds today. Let's be encouraged to do the work of God. And go out and tell boys and girls, mamas and daddies, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas, and anybody in between, kissing cousins or killing cousins, it doesn't matter. Tell them all about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the one that we're serving today. We, his servants, will rise up and build and do what God has commanded us to do. Amen? Let's do that today. Amen? Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege, God, that you have given unto us as your children, Lord, to go out and tell this world about a Savior that can change lives, that will make a difference in people's lives. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to stand up today, to rise up and to build and to tell others about what Christ can do for them. Oh, God, help us to stop being silent and, Lord, to just be willing to do what you have saved us to do. And that is to reach our lost world with the message of the gospel. Help us now, Lord, to be found faithful to do that which you've commanded us to do. Bless our pastor today as he stands up to preach. And Father, we'll thank you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being here.